This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up, Jason Longshore is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk about Atlanta United and what happened. What happened? And where we go? What's this going to look like as we continue to move forward? Look, it's early in the season, but the momentum of the first home match was like, wow, here we go. And then didn't look so good. So we'll talk with Jason coming up. Also, some guy talk on the way this hour. Just had a guy hit us up, Mike. He said, I just followed the Yacht Rock review on social media. Great interview, fellas. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, we're just doing something different, man. Having some fun. And appreciate those guys stopping by. And Nick was great in studio playing the acoustic guitar, Mike. Did he hit Brandy right on point?
Yeah, man, I was just laughing because I just literally heard a band play that on the beach down in St. Pete this weekend for the race. And that's one of those things. If you don't get talking to Mike Conti during the commercial break, our boss, if you get a smile when you hear that song, you've got, nice black piece of coal for a heart. Because that's just fun. That's a feel-good music. It's just fun, loose vibe. And, you know, it's just, as we said earlier, and all the guys from that era are making more money now because everybody's downloading the tunes on iTunes. And, you know, good for them.
Yeah. I don't know what these people are thinking, Mike. Help me real quick before we talk some college football. Dukes and Bell, I don't know what you guys are doing, man. Comparing Pitts to a guy that almost led the league in receiving and did lead the league in receiving is the highest paid guy right now in the league. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's compare him to Brock Bowers.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want?
Let's compare him to Brock Bowers.
Well, I mean, when you draft a guy fourth overall and you're the highest ever drafted tight end, okay, by position, that's the highest ever a tight end was drafted. You're kind of expected to be Tony Gonzalez or Tony Gonzalez Light or George Pickett. I mean, Kittle or. You know, I mean, if you can't be Kelsey, be Kittle. If you can't be him, be Mark. I mean, take any good tight end. Take any of the 17 tight ends who've got better numbers in the NFL than Pitts does.
Who threw the ball to Brock Bowers last year? You guys name the quarterbacks for the Raiders for me.
I'll tell you right now, it was Gardner Minshew was one.
Okay.
Then there was the other guy.
Bum.
And then there was Ritter.
Bum. Correct. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum. Right.
Brock Bowers had 112 receptions. Guys, that's more than
Drake. Aiden O'Connell was the guy in the middle.
Bum. That's more than Drake London. That's more than Justin Jefferson. It's more than Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Detroit
Lions.
It's more than Malik Nabers for the Giants. Brock Bowers having bums. Throwing the ball, had 112 catches last year. Let's compare him to that guy if you don't want us to compare him to Justin Jefferson. You're not seeing what we're talking about.
I mean, look what Zach Ertz does, right, for the Commanders, helping out a rookie quarterback. Okay? I mean, look at Njoku with a bad Browns team. These guys are all better. Look, I mean, hell, Gesicki, you know, he's got other guys who are a little higher on the priority list than the Bengals. And even he had 65 catches last year. So, I mean, it's just, guys, if you don't understand it, we don't know what to say to you at this point. I'm not going to belittle it or belabor it. But you're just a jock sniffer. You're just a guy who doesn't want to hear an athlete being criticized by two guys on the radio. Because Kyle Pitts, and look, here's the thing. We're all hoping that the light goes on. I mean, the best thing that could happen is Pitts balls out, gets up with those all those names we just mentioned, Bowers, McBride, Kelsey, Jonnu Smith. Hell, Jonnu Smith is a more impactful player. We could have kept Jonnu Smith. I mean, George Kittle, Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry is still more productive. Freiermuth with the Steelers, Sam LaPorta, Jake Ferguson, Cade Otton. We saw him in the game where Pitts was actually good down in Tampa. Dalton Schultz. All these guys are better than Pitts. So, I mean, if he can be up in there in the top five and he's a 1,000-yard receiver with 8 touchdowns and be the red zone. Because, guys, you don't draft a fourth. If he was a fifth-round pick or even a second-round pick, I'd give you it.
We wouldn't have this conversation.
He's the fourth guy taken in 2021.
Bowers, as a rookie, with 4 different dudes throwing him the ball, had 112 balls caught.
Bum. With the best wide receiver traded from the team midseason. So maybe you're trying to take Brock Bowers away.
Tell me how you don't see this. Like there's a difference. 404-726-0929.
We hope he balls out. Like again, and if he does, hell yeah, it would be nice to bookend his 5 years with 2 Pro Bowl seasons.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, but I mean, he's not.
I'm not counting on it.
He's never come even remotely close to giving you the bang for the buck as the 4th overall pick. And I love some of these guys. I'd love to live in your world. It's not his fault they picked him 4th.
Eddie is killing me.
Excuses are like black holes, and you guys got a million of them.
It's not his fault he ran a 4.440 at the combine. Not his fault he's 6'4", 6'5", 240, blessed with all these athletic gifts. No, it's not. Not at all. It's not Kyle Pitts' fault at all. No,
I know. All right, you guys can find us. Hit us up. I had to address that. I'm just like, what example do you want me to give you? I'm going to give you a rookie who had 4 different bums throwing him the ball on a bad football team.
Bum.
Who just showed you, I got it. That's all we're looking for. Do you have it or do you not have it? All right.
I mean, Dallas Goedert played in 7 less games. It has just 5 less receptions. And was a difference maker and helped the Eagles win one of the games to turn their season around down in New Orleans.
He sure did. All right, man, let's talk some dogs. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey confirmed Monday he is in favor of the conference going to a 9-game football schedule. Mm. But he says, here's the catch, Mike. And this is the kicker, right? Because there's always a catch. As long as it doesn't hurt SEC teams trying to get into the college football playoff. He wants some assurances, and I think this is what Petitti wants with the Big Ten, that, hey, as we move forward, we got Oklahoma and Texas joining the conference. That's great. It was great last year. They were in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Texas was. But he has voiced his opinion about 9 games and saying Monday and confirming it that, hey, the SEC, this would be great. But here's the thing. We need to understand from the other athletic directors and the people on the committee, like, what's the right number? What's the number of losses that allows you into the college football playoff? Because if we are going to go to 9 games, we don't want, Mike, our teams being hurt by playing a tougher conference schedule and then potentially being left out of the college football playoff. So if you got a 3-loss SEC team that played a hell of a 9-game schedule, you're going to leave them out?
Well, I mean, this is just 1 year, and we will have different members in the committee, presumably in the next 9 years until the SEC contract with ESPN ends in 2034. But, I mean, look. The strength of schedule should have meant more. But I think they wanted to have the little kids from the kids' table at the big table this year, and it was a waste of everyone's time. With all due respect to Boise State and Indiana, that was a waste of my time. But now you do want to have some assurances. If I'm going to give you better product and better quality week in, week out, where we're going to see good teams have more than one loss, you better not punish me for it. That's Greg Sankey's point. Now, they're also not going to do this until ESPN gives them more money. Because why, free milk and a cow? Why give ESPN another quality game when you're not getting paid for it? That was always my understanding of why they were dragging their feet.
I just think, like, what he's saying and kind of laying the law here and putting his foot down is, we're willing to do 9 games, but I need reassurances that, again, a good 3-loss SEC team that plays one of the toughest schedules in the country is not going to be left out of the playoff.
Right.
And I don't know if they can give him those reassurances.
Yeah, but again, but now if you're expanding this thing to 16, you should still get in. I mean,
if it goes to 16, it's different.
I mean, a 1-loss team from the Mountain West isn't trumping a 3-loss, presumably Alabama, but that, in a 16-team model.
But that's what he's saying. In the 14-team format, each conference gets four guaranteed bids. That's what they're trying to push across. So, again, we'll see where this goes. Again, we got the spring meetings and the coaches' meetings and all this stuff that's going to happen. But he's laying the foundation, guys. And what he's trying to tell the committee is, yeah, and ESPN, to Mike's point, we'll go there. But I got to know that if Ole Miss plays everybody in the conference and they lose three games and everybody says their strength of schedule is seven, and yet they're going to be left out of the playoff, that's not treating the SEC fairly.
Meanwhile, we get more details on what exactly happened with Clemson and Florida State. Needless to say, the Tigers and the Noles are going to drop the lawsuit against the ACC, and then subsequently the ACC is suing them. And now they're going to get more money based on the TV revenue, a bigger piece of the pie based on your TV numbers. Bigger brands draw bigger, you know, viewership. But the ACC's deal...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gil Carl with ESPN ends in 2030. So I give credit to Dan Wolkin, who lives here in Atlanta when he's not doing the football stuff. He wrote a pretty good article basically saying that what they did in the ACC with their problem with Clemson and Florida State, he compared it to Jurassic Park. He said, they took this problem and they put it in amber. And basically, in about in 5 years' time,
it'll hatch.
It's going to hatch, and we're going to have like a Jurassic Park, and basically, it'll be pterodactyls eating people's heads. But anyway, getting back to his point, it is interesting because, just real quick, food for thought, we're going to have this Big 12 contract ends in 2031.
Yeah.
So that's when you could see the Big 12 maybe try to give more TV revenue money and a bigger contract to Clemson or Florida State or anybody else from the ACC who's looking for greener pastures.
It won't, what you're saying is conference realignment won't happen
right
until these deals
correct
are done.
Right now, according to Dan Wolkin, the Big Ten's ends in 2032.
Yep.
The Big 12's TV contract ends in 31, and the SEC's ends in 2034. So that's when we'll have another, that's when potentially we could have that Super 75 or that one giant, you know, mega conference. Or maybe that would be the groundwork.
Yeah, and in the meantime, we go from 14 to maybe 16 to maybe 18 teams, right, potentially.
I'll be 20. Why not round it off?
Correct. And in the meantime, while you're doing the college football playoff, because there's just so much money to be made there.
Saying that life finds a way.
It does.
Thank you. It does. And by the way, that's in 2030. That's when the big buyout, basically half a billion, it's billions of dollars to try to get out. That's when the buyout drops all the way down. ESPN On3 have an article on that. And that's when Florida State and Clemson can just simply buy it out, get out of the ACC without having to go to a private equity firm, Carl, on Wall Street, all the other crazy ideas they thought of last year.
By the way, Jurassic World Rebirth is the new Jurassic that's coming out.
You know,
they're not dead yet.
Brother, have you seen all the Jurassic Park movies?
Pretty much.
I stopped.
Pretty much.
I got to be honest with you.
I have. I can't lie to you.
I stopped after the second one.
I can't lie.
And I haven't gone back since.
Back to the island and now July.
An attraction again.
July 2nd.
I've never seen any of the Chris Pratt ones.
The Bryce Dallas Howard,
yeah. But this has got, and look, if you think they're good actors, you might be interested. But Mahershala Ali is in this. Scarlett Johansson's in this. Jonathan Bailey's in this, good actor. I mean, they got an interesting cast. I just, again, and it's called Jurassic World Rebirth, since you went there, I just like it.
Right.
And it comes out basically 4th of July weekend. curious to see how it does. Look, these big blockbusters, the problem is, Mike, again, these redos. This is all that Hollywood is doing, right? It's like, oh, that was a hit. Let's just add on
and
to it.
And you got to imagine, this will be like that Star Wars reboot where it's basically the same story. It's just they'll change some of the characters, but it's going to be the same dynamic.
That music,
T-Rex will win in the end.
That music right there. All right, I don't know. Yeah, I've seen them all, Mike, unfortunately. Because I saw Jurassic Park when it first came out, and I was, like, blown away.
Everybody was.
And I was like, whoa.
The blockbuster of that summer.
It made $1 billion in, like, 93, which was unheard of at that time.
Right. Yeah. All right, man.
I haven't seen any of those movies since the second one.
And you know what? Now you got me thinking. I did see the Chris Pratt stuff. I did. Yeah, I watched that, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Now I got to go see some movies about some stripper dating a Russian oligarch that just won all the Oscars.
It looks good. Hey, man, coming up, Jason Longshore is going to join us. We'll talk Atlanta United. What went wrong against Charlotte? Where do we need the corrections? And what does he think about what's going on with our club? Find out next. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about Atlanta United. Coming up, some guy talks on the way. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, it's the second consecutive match, we've only had two, that we play strong in the first half and then not so much in the second half. Jason Longshore is here with us, Atlanta United analyst. Charlotte took advantage of that in the second half, and we lose 2-0. Why is that happening? What's going on, Jason? What's your observation of what's happened in the first half versus the second half for Atlanta United so far?
Can we go back to the part after the comma that you said off of the top, Carl?
Sure.
It's only the second game.
Correct.
That's, I think, a big part of this right now. It's frustrating, don't get me wrong, that you see such a good level in the first 45 and it drops off. I think it's hard to maintain that level, for one, but two, and here's the part that I want to see change, because I think it's the easier part to change. You know, to be able to maintain top level for 90 minutes, it's practically impossible. You're going to have those peaks and valleys in terms of momentum and in terms of your performance, in terms of energy level. But when you have it, when you're at that top, got to produce more goals. And that's the bigger part of this to me, is that you've had two great first halves. So 90 minutes out of 180, great. One goal to show for it. That's the part that needs to change. Because if you get a couple of goals in the first half in Charlotte, you had the chances to do it. You get a couple of goals in the first half against Montreal in the home game, you had the chances to do it. Then those second halves look a little different, because the other team has to really stretch. When you have your best play happening, got to produce. And that's something that you're going to have to improve. This attack needs to build chemistry. It takes time. It is the second game. You played 180 minutes. You've got to see that those little things start to come together, and ultimately got to produce when it's there.
So, yeah, they had some great opportunities. It was kind of really electric those 10 minutes before the half. And then, I mean, we're not making excuses, Jason, but we know that they don't have, for guys who don't follow soccer, we would say defenders, but the backs, the right back, left back, center back. Is that what's causing some of the trouble, or are those goals just fluky?
No, yeah, those are a little stranger to me. I mean, look, this team is going to be built on attacks first. It's where the talent is in the group. Don't get me wrong, even when everybody's at full strength. But the element that makes the attack even better is when you get Brooklyn and Pedro Amador back into the starting lineup, and both were training full participants today, which is good to see. Even Lennon with coming off the shoulder surgery, where you know you're going to make sure that he can handle contact. He was not a limited participant today, so that's a really good sign. When you have the two of those guys, let's forget the defensive side for a second and look at what they do for the attack. The way this team is built right now, with Miguel Almiron, I think, still really trying to find his way into this group and where he fits and where he goes to find space, and then where everybody reacts to that. When you have Brooks Lennon taking the space that Almiron leaves from the wing, we've seen what Lennon can do with this league. We're talking about a double-digit assist provider. Pedro Amador can do the same from the other side. Then you have Witt. Then it's even harder to defend. Then the quality of chances that you create is even better. So the best way, and I think Charlotte showed it, because Charlotte created 6 key passes, none in the first half. They had 16 shot-creating actions in the game. Atlanta had twice that many. But what did they do? They scored. The goals changed the game for Charlotte.
they're able to then sit back and defend. It's a lot more comfortable for them. If you're creating better chances and you're getting forward with even more numbers with those fullbacks going forward, it's going to be a lot harder to deal with this Atlanta United team. And then some of the questions about how they defend, that changes if you have a two-goal lead as opposed to a one-goal lead or you're chasing the game.
Jason Longshore, our guest, guys. Next up, Red Bulls. They're coming off of a win against Nashville. You concerned about their style, pressing, fanatic pace? Does that concern you with where we're at right now?
Yeah, they're just always a good team. I mean, you know, not so much style in this case. They're just, they went to the cup final last year. This is a very good New York Red Bulls team. And I think a little bit different than what we've seen in the past from Red Bulls teams. You know, they're never going to be a team that really wants the ball in the same way that some others in the league do, like Atlanta. But this is a group that can play a little bit more if you give them the ball. Emil Forsberg, one of the more talented players in the league, he's got a lot of weapons around him. You know, I've been impressed with what we've seen from the Red Bulls under Sandro Schwartz, their manager, who's in his second year now. This is a group that is building a, I don't want to say new identity, but maybe a modified identity, a more well-rounded identity, which makes them harder to deal with. You know, they're going to press. They're going to make you work. But they can also play with the ball a little bit when they have to. I think with this game, this is one where you saw it at times against Montreal, who also pressed very high and also really sold out to try to win the ball back in the attacking half. You have space over the top. And that's what this team is built on with its speed. I'd like to see them, and this is coming from somebody who is generally talking about wanting to keep the ball and work the chances and find right. those chances, because that's what this team has done so well over the years. I'd like to see them look to go over the top more.
Right.
I think they have the team to do it. With Lattelot up top with the speed, with Saba and Almiron, who are always willing to run, at least early, put that fear in the opponent. Make them drop off a little bit. Then you'll have more space in the midfield to work with. But that's something I'd like to see this team find a little more often, is that ball over the top or that long direct pass to open the field up.
I know it's a small sample size, Jason. Followed, by the way, at Long Shoe on Twitter. But yeah, we did see some of that in the opening match against Montreal. And that's, you know, I know for me, you know, I'm action, man. I just want to see some scoring. And again, they did have some great opportunities, just couldn't, you know, just couldn't get it in the bag. So just moving forward, you like where we're at. And when, by the way, when do we get 100% healthy? I mean, so that'd be the only thing that you could see as far as a fan. Now, I don't want to be a complete repeat of 17 and 18 where we scored a lot, but sometimes we're shaky on defense.
Yeah, well, you might need to buckle up and have those flashbacks, because okay. I think this is just going to be a team that is aggressive. And when you're aggressive and you take chances and you get forward fast, you run the risk of it coming back down the other way very quickly. So that's just the nature that I think this team is going to play like this year. You want more balance, and you know, you're getting really close to health. When you get Lennon and Amador back, I think then we'll be able to really get a sense of how the puzzle pieces fit. Because right now, and especially in Charlotte, who's a very good defensive team, by the way, and a really, you know, a team that I think is making a statement that they could be in that top tier in the Eastern Conference with getting Wilfried Zaha. But you look at Lennon and Amador versus what you had at fullback in the last game with Matt Edwards and Luis Abram, who didn't impact the game in the attacking half. I it sounds weird to focus on that aspect of a defender, but I think if you do that, what happens is Atlanta starts to pin teams in more. They have to sit back deeper to defend. They can't get out and really put you under the same kind of pressure. When you can stretch the field wide, and that's where Lennon and that's where Amador are going to be so important, you're better defensively by attacking, if that makes sense. It's more about field position.
Best defense is a good offense.
If you want to get into
it. Right.
Yeah, it's that way of, you know, I think we've talked possession for so long in soccer, and it has value. But to me right now, what I'm seeing in MLS and leagues around the world, it's the control comes from field position. And Ronnie Dyla's talked about it really clearly. He wants the game to be played in his attacking half. He doesn't want to be in his defensive half very often. So get there, and then when you stretch the field with the fullbacks, you stay there for longer periods of time until you put the ball in the back of the net.
Great stuff, Jason. Looking forward to seeing what happens this weekend. Again, Atlanta United taking on the Red Bulls. That game's going to be on our sister station, Star 94. 6:30 pregame, kicks at 7:30. Make sure you check it out. Jason, thanks so much.
Always great chatting with you guys. See you soon.
All right, cool. Man.
Yeah, and it was funny. The folks up there in Charlotte were chirping because obviously, you know, they want to compete against us because they're obviously envious of Atlanta. It's, you know, it's Mayberry with tall buildings. That's basically what Charlotte is. But it's funny because I saw a lot of memes where it's like, you know, it's that meme from Mad Men where it's like, you know, yeah, man, we got you. It's like, I don't even think about you.
I don't even think about you. That's right. I don't even know who you are. It's true. Right. We'll see how things shake out. Look, it is early. Jason's right. And we got a lot to learn about this club. But they got us excited after that first match. And you're like, okay, this has promise. We will see if they continue to live up to that. Hey, man, coming up, we got more Falcon information. And a free agency is on the verge of starting today. It's come and gone. And that was the ability to franchise tag a player that you thought needed to be franchised. The big news today is Sam Darnold does not get the franchise tag. He is going to hit the market, and we're going to see what teams are interested in potentially picking him up. But it's a crowded free agent quarterback market with a bunch of vets right now, Mike.
I mean, that's why I think for guys who feel that somebody's going to – see, this is the thing. Nobody, when Aaron Rodgers is out there and Russell Wilson is out there and Sam Darnold is out there, maybe Brock Purdy, you know, there's nobody's trading. No one's going to give you money for Kirk Cousins. They're just going to pick him up for basically nothing after we get stuck with the tab. That's why I know I understand why they've said what they've said, because you got to play it by the numbers. But I just don't think anyone's going to take Kirk Cousins off our hand for anything. No money.
More of that coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll get you the latest. And Saquon gets a big deal as well. Before we get to all of that, though, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, you know, pro wrestling we know isn't real.
It's not?
Well, the guys are tremendous athletes, you know, to be able to do the things they do.
Wait a minute, it's not real?
Well, no, it's not. But the thing is, when somebody from outside the world of wrestling gets in the ring, you got to remind them.
Uh-oh.
It's not real. So we'll explain, somebody got hurt, for real. Also, how much would you spend for a Cheeto that looks like a Pokemon character?
I love Cheetos.
Would you spend $88,000?
I would not.
That's coming up next in Guy Talk.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Where the play is played. Don't forget, guys, coming up on Thursday, 92.9 of the game night over at State Farm Arena. Hawks in action, and we'll be there, man. Look for us on the floor. I think Andy Ranning will be up there with the home of the 12th man, or the 6th man, I should say. 12th man football, 6th man basketball. But they'll be up there at State Farm. It'll be a lot of fun. Everybody will be there but Orin. Anyway, guys, we'll be having a great time. Real quick, I meant to mention this to you yesterday. I was down in the St. Petersburg area for the IndyCar race, which, by the way, best numbers they've had in like 15 years.
A lot of people.
Fox. No, the ratings.
Oh, the ratings on TV.
You know, because NBC kind of was dying a slow death. But no, because Fox kind of pumped some juice into it. They had a lot of promos running during the end of football season.
Okay.
And just like some fresh blood and, you know, fresh approach. And they had kind of a doubleheader because they had the NASCAR race was down in Texas at COTA, down in Austin. So that was like the doubleheader. And they got 1.4 million people, which for them is great for IndyCar, because other than the Indy 500, they don't really get good numbers. So it was actually pretty good. But I meant to tell you this yesterday. I didn't have enough time because I was bloviating about people worried about my consumption of alcohol after having heart surgery. But driving home, I stopped. You ever make the mistake when you're driving and maybe you're doing a road trip and you're trying to play the mileage game where you don't want to, like, you know, stop until you're really ready to go get gas? You know, for me, it's like quarter of a tank. You know, if you don't want to mess up your fuel injectors in the modern cars these days. But anyway, I should have gotten gas somewhere around like Valdosta, but I pushed it. And then I wound up getting gas with, I think it was like Adele or whatever the town was. And I went from, and as I went over the exit, you look down and you're like, oh, damn it, the gas station's right there. You don't have to like go a half a mile. It's really right there. And you got food, McDonald's and Wendy's. So I go to the next exit and I blew it. And then I'm like, oh, crap. And I had to go to a chain gas station. And so I'm like, ah, all right. Well, but one I don't normally use. And I get down there. And it's like, it's almost like 11:30 at night on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to get, I want to get some water, get some electrolytes, some smart water. So I go in, I fill the tank up, I go inside.
Well, after your weekend.
Right. Again, Carl, I had 2 alcoholic servings per day.
I'm sorry. You. Go ahead.
Again, we established that one serving does include a complete bottle of wine.
Correct.
But wine is good for you. The Italians live to be forever drinking a glass or two of wine a day.
Before or after this? Then.
But this, again, I felt a testament to the Embry cardiovascular. I felt like a new man.
You do. And you sound like a new man.
I feel great. I mean, it really did. I mean, like, apparently I pushed it too far. No one said you're not supposed to walk like a mile a day after you have your heart procedure.
Oh,
but I wound up, no, I felt fine though.
Okay.
I was talking talking to the assistant of the doctor, and I was like, the dog wanted to walk, and next thing you know, I kept going. It was like Forrest Gump. I just kept walking, and then next thing you know, it's probably maybe pushed it too far, but I just feel good. So feeling good feels good.
Okay, so you stop and get electrolytes.
So I stopped to get some water.
Because you needed them.
Get some water. Get some water, as my sister would say.
Okay.
And then, I mean, it was literally like an episode of freaking Cops just breaks out. I come in there, and there's this dude. He literally looks like Uncle Jesse. He's got bib overalls on. He's got like the beard, the hair, you know, and he has like a trucker hat. And he's like, and he's trying to like check out with his hot dog. He's got a hot dog. So he's holding a hot dog with mayo on it, and put some onions on it. And he's got it in his hand. He's like, I just won't pay for the hot dog. And he's like, you've got to put it in the tray. So I guess it was a Quick Trip, whatever it was. You got to put your item, if it's a food item, in like this little basket that's right next to the hot dog. I just walked in on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was my jackpot. I just got the tail. I just want to pay for a water and get the hell out. So this guy's like, I just want to pay for the damn hot dog. He's like, you got to put, and the girl's like, sir, you put it in a tray. So I'm involved in this blank show. And I see where these little, it's just a paper tray. It's got a barcode on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So that's so you scan it.
Scan it.
So I hand it to the guy, and he literally bats it out of my hand.
Get that out of my face.
Like, I'm like, okay, this is me leaving. And literally, the guy, so she's like, tell him it's right there. So they have like, there's a laser, there's a barcode reader, and he basically takes this hot dog, which he's got a death grip on, with mustard and onions, and just sticks it right there on top of the thing, sans tray. He's like, it ain't doing nothing.
Because you didn't put it in the correct container.
I'm just, and then I come outside, and I mean, right out of Central Casting, there's a car with a family full of mutants in the car, you know, and it's like, all I can think of is, well, you're not going to spring for hot dogs for Jethro Jr.? Daddy, where's my hot dog? So sorry, I meant to tell you this yesterday. There's a lot on my plate, yes, but this is me, 11:30 at night in Adel, Georgia, with the mutant who's just basically spooged a hot dog all over like the scanning. They ruined it for everyone.
He ruined it every. Yeah. Now they got to clean that up.
It's like, and the guy was cussing too. He's like, I just want to pay for my GD hot dog. Or I'm just telling you this.
Man won his damn hot dog.
Anyway, what was I thinking trying to help this idiot out, right? That's me. That's like my dad said. Don't ever get involved.
Yeah.
Never get involved.
No, it's true. I love the fact that he batted it out of your head. Get that out of my face.
I said to him, and it wasn't like I said it with disdain. I wasn't like, hey, moron, use this. I was like, hey, buddy, I think this is what she's talking about. And he's like, bah! Ah! Hot dog.
Do you think he got the hot dog?
I don't know what he did. I mean, I think at one point the lady probably just walk out with the 19-cent hot dog with a dollar markup. What does a hot dog go for a Quick Trip? Please, sir, leave the premises.
Oh man.
Anyway, it's like, I mean, that's my world. I step into these situations. Hey man, I'm not the biggest wrestling fan, but I know a lot of our audience is. Dusty Rhodes' son Cody got banged up.
What happened?
This happened, I guess, on Saturday night.
Yeah, he did.
March 1st. You may have not seen this. It was the closing segment of the Elimination Chamber Premium Live event. And apparently, it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, John Cena, in a beatdown of Rhodes. And I guess the guest star in this was Travis Scott.
Oh.
And so Travis Scott basically gets in there and starts. But, you know, when you're kicking a man that's down, you know how these guys do it. They hit the ring at the same time they're like looking like they're hitting the other guy.
Correct.
So it creates that bigger sound. Well, nobody told Travis Scott that wrestling isn't real, a wrestling podcast said. Apparently, he punched the blank out of Cody Rhodes. So apparently, Cody's got a busted eardrum.
Oh.
And a black eye.
Wow.
So, you know, but this is one thing, whatever, you know, pro football players have got. We interviewed Steve McMichael back in the day before he got sick. And he talked about one day the Bears were involved in the same thing. The wrestlers are like, you're in the ring with, you know, 50,000 people. And the wrestlers are like, take it easy, take it easy.
Yeah, you're going too hard.
It's like Dan Hampton and Mongo were in there. And the football players don't know to pull their punches.
Yeah, it's true. And I love the other side of this. Now, look, I don't know, you know, obviously he was, you know, Rhodes was just taking it, and
he was supposed to be beaten up.
Correct. Yeah. He was just taking the beating. But I will say this: when it's the opposite side, when people have tested wrestlers, and you've seen this, where they're right. like, "Yeah," and then they get in there, and the wrestlers start to do a couple of moves on these guys, and they end up getting hurt because, you know, they don't think that the physical aspect of what they do is real, and we've said that. So yeah, that's I did not see it. But right. I'm curious if there'll be retribution.
Well, it's funny because I read the article, and of course, I go down the rabbit hole. I start reading the comments on social media, and then you get from a wrestler, biggest wrestling fan 101, Travis being part of this segment was ridiculous. Just a cheap way to get him into the show. Serves zero purpose in this segment.
There was a funny part, like after I guess he threw the punch. And The Rock, and this is, he had a, I'm spoiling the thing, John Cena had a heel turn. So John Cena was his baby face, and he now retires as a heel. But you just see Travis Scott just on the ropes, just kind of leaning back while The Rock and John Cena doing their thing. Like, he's kind of there, but not really there.
I'm kind of with the wrestling fan there, the nerd.
What was the purpose of him being there? You're ruining this. Okay, I saw this story. This is from the New York Post, where I get a lot of my material. Pokemon-shaped flaming hot Cheeto sells for $88,000. Have you seen this? A Cheeto Zard, described as a 3-inch red hot puffy snack anomaly that came out of the oven, apparently a little wacky. To some people, resembles the fire-breathing Pokemon monster Charizard. It sold at a Golden's auction website this week to an anonymous buyer, perhaps the same wrestling fan, for a wannabe Pokemaster, $88,000.
Who does this?
Apparently, Charizard is among an original and most popular Pokemon in the franchise. Now, I don't follow. You want to jump in on this, Orin? I know nothing about Pokemon.
I know nothing either. But look at the vote. Somebody spent like a dollar on a bag of Cheetos and netted $87,000.
Because obviously, somebody posted the image of it.
And then, no doubt.
Like anything in the world, there's a need and a want for it. To me, it does almost look, if you hold it a certain angle, it looks like the dragon on the Welsh flag.
Okay.
Remember we saw Calzaghe fight? You know, it kind of looks, so I can understand why somebody would, you know how it is. People will be at Waffle House and they'll say a piece of toast looks like the Mother Mary or Jesus is on the piece of toast.
You don't see the image there?
You know, and then people, I see it. Okay.
It's in my eggs. It's in my eggs. These eggs cost me $80, so you should see it.
It's in the eye of the beholder. All right. I don't know what was going on. I posted the video. The link is up at Mike Bell ATL. Don't want to rush to judgment or cast aspersions, Carl, lest the driver of the vehicle involved in a wreck this morning in Buckhead has some sort of physical ailment or impairment or some kind of thing like a seizure or whatever. But you take a look at this, guys. The Terminus building, the corner of Piedmont and Peachtree, a lady smashes through the window on street level, smashes in the plate glass, and then backs the car out and smashes into the concrete pillars, the metal post outside the entry to the garage, in the parking garage. Now, what's crazy about this is somebody has video, I presume from across the street at the hotel right where the rooms to go is. And Carl, go look at my Twitter and take a look at this, because literally she smashes into a window, pang, gets out, and then eventually she wobbles out of the car and, according to Channel 2, wasn't arrested.
Why?
I don't know. Police are there. And, I mean, this is either, and I don't want to be sexist, but the worst case of lady driving of all time, or whatever you want to call this. But, guys, everything Georgia, which, you know, posts a lot of really cool news stories and unique stuff, usually it's people brawling at either a Waffle House or at the gate at Spirit, like last week. Remember, saw that? Like, did you see that, like, 15-man battle
royal? Huge brawl. I mean, it's Spirit, but, yeah, huge brawl.
Yeah. The thing that cracked me up with that was, like, the lady that was sitting on top of the chair, and she's, like, every once in a while swinging her purse or kicking at the guy. But anyway, take a look at this. It's seen today in Buckhead, as they said on the Everything Georgia website. It says, I can't believe they let her walk away, or at least take her to the hospital. But when you see the video, you're like, I mean, it's like something out of a bad movie. She just goes, smash, turns and backs the car out, wham, and it smashes into something else at Terminus.
So there's no determination on whether she was on something or something else was going on.
That's why you got to, you know.
She got her bag out the car and just sort of left.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Interesting.
That was it.
I have no idea. A lot of property destroyed there. Yeah.
DWW.
I'm sorry?
Driving While White? Oh. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't say that, Carl. Anyway, guys, you can take a look at the video and draw your own conclusions. But WSB's got the link as well. Hey, man, that's your Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, Man Ale. By the way, I know the Hey, Man Ale is still out there in some stores, some brewery. We're hopefully going to get some more out there at some point. But if you can find it, get your hands on it, because it is still obviously very popular with our audience, and we appreciate you guys drinking it.
Yeah, no doubt, man. A lot of the producers over at FanDuel, Mike, I brought them a case, and they were like, man, this is really good stuff. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it, man. They enjoy the beer as well. Hey, we got a lot more to dive into, including the latest on the Falcons. Look, Combine came and went. There's some things we got to clear up. One is, does anybody truly believe that we're going to do what we say we're going to do? And is he untouchable?
Mm.
We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.